the interesting thing is when he's to tell this parable, it is the widow who has the difficult situation, but he doesn't start with the widow, but with the judge. And I'm like, what? Why do you start with the judge? In verse 2, he said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. This is not just about the widow, but he's saying something more. He's starting with the judge. And he says two times. And he said that the judge neither feared God nor cared what people thought. This is repeated, and the whole of Word of God, when Bible says something, it does so knowingly. And then he comes to a third point. Listen to what the unjust judge says. So Jesus and the Bible emphasize not something several times by mistake. What we get to meet time after time in this world, what this judge stands for. He said he did not fear God. A lack of respect of God and a lack of respect for people. And this would increase at the end of times. And this judge judges people with his lifestyle without fear of God or people. He also doesn't see the judging that will come at the end of times. He doesn't think that one day everyone will be judged. This will increase the closer to the end of times we come. We will be challenged by a lack of fear of God. And your faith and your life will be challenged by a world that doesn't believe in God. But there is a higher being that a lack of fear of God says that it doesn't matter if you pray, no one will hear. There will be resistance toward prayer at the end of times. If someone would hear you pray, then someone will not care. It's a common thought in the end of times in the world. The fear of God and faith in God will be challenged more and more at the end of times. And this mentality will be everywhere. It will be very easy in the end of times to look at the circumstances and to become lose our hope and think, what's the point? Who will hear? There will continually be challenges against your faith in the end of times. And we need to be prepared for this. We should not be surprised about this. There are powers that want to hinder Christians to live in faith and to pray and trust in God. There are powers that will try to get us to give up in the end of times. The other point is a respect for people. The world is becoming a colder place. And to think about ourselves and to have ourselves in the center. And this is what this judge here in the parable has. So he doesn't fear God, and therefore he doesn't need to have a moral law. He doesn't need to care about, but he doesn't respect people either. And we know that this judge should have done right in this thing, since the widow comes time and time again, grant me justice. And he said, And he said, if I would have had it, then I should have directly do right toward her. But she is so, she is bothering me so much. So the respect for people will decrease at the end of times. And it will be colder and harder. Now we might think that life is still pretty good, but the closer we come to the end of times, it will be more difficult. Jesus connects this theme with the Son of Man returning and the end of times. And Jesus says, I wonder, will I find faith on earth when I come back? I wonder if there will be people who still pray day and night, who still call on me, who still trust that in me. This is Jesus' question. This is what he wonders at the end of this parable. He wonders, will there be people who, instead of trusting in this world and going along this world's ways, trusting in our own strength, trusting in what this world can offer and riches and such, and he's wondering that will there still be people who trust in me no matter what? Jesus says even like this in Matthew. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the incense increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. There is a real danger, a power that will try to get everyone to fall. The increase of wickedness and the love will grow cold for most. What is Jesus saying in this parable? How can we stand firm and stand firm and stay burning in our spirit when life challenges us? But Jesus is saying right here and now, he's also talking to us, when the times will become worse, when we go toward the end of times, he starts by saying, in order to say that they always should pray, living close to Jesus. But when we come to the end, but then he says that the Son of Man will seek this kind of faith when he returns. So this is something that applies now. How can we right now stand burning and live close to Jesus? How can we right now trust in Jesus? But it will be reality even more at the end of times, before Jesus comes back. We have a difficulty perhaps thinking about this, but our faith will be challenged even more the closer we come to the end of times. It's 2,000 years since he said that this will happen. It's now closer than ever, the end of times. That's the first point, that this is not just about prayer, but it's about faith and trust when our lives are challenged. The second is, God is different than this world. Jesus makes this point. He talks about this judge, and this judge is not an example of God. But the point he makes is like this. That listen what the wicked judge does. Would not God then get right to them when he listens to them? However, will the Son of Man, when he find faith on the earth? God is not a judge who. Jesus is saying, look at what the unjust, ungodly judge says. his point is that God is the opposite of this judge. It says here two times that God will do right by his own. He says in the beginning, would not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? And he says, then he will get them justice. So God hears our prayers and promises to stand by our side, regardless of what, whether he comes soon or later. But those who trust in him get to experience him as a God we can trust and rely on. And when he listens patiently to them, God is someone you can trust in. It's not how the world says there is no one who hears us, but God listens intently to us. Jesus says, God listens to every prayer that you pray. And Jesus himself promises, God will get you justice. God is different than everything we have gotten to learn about this world. When Jesus has taught about prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, he teaches about pray and you will receive, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened for you. For the one who prays, he gets; the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, that for him the door will be opened. And then he gives a promise after this. He says, if you who are wicked understand to give your children good gifts, how much more will not your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Again, a point that God is different. He says, he does the same thing again, and you who are wicked and live in this world and who are influenced by selfishness, if you understand to give good gifts, how much more will not God do that? Just like with the wicked judge, the ungodly judge, he will... In a way, he's talking about the same thing. He's saying, pray and you will receive, ask and knock and the door will be opened. It will not always be in our lives that enough to pray a prayer and now and then. There will be times if we want to be steadfast in prayer and in faith to the end, then there will come times when we will have to go and to pray and you will receive and seek and you will find will not be enough. You will get to knock on the door and the door will be opened. It's like a journey where Jesus is inviting us and saying that you need to come closer. If you want to be steadfast in the end of times, come closer through prayer to me. He is teaching in this parable about prayer at the end of times. And the third point is this. That steadfast prayer, maybe we have a certain picture of prayer. My third point today, steadfast prayer and faith is to come to God again. Maybe we might think we've gotten different kinds of examples of prayer. I've walked with God for 25 years or for my whole life. I've been in different kinds of circumstances and conferences and so on. I've gotten to see different kinds of prayer that can vary a lot. But many times I've gotten with me such a picture of prayer that we sometimes will need to fight ourselves blue to reach out to a God who hears us if we just fight. I don't know if you've gotten this kind of a picture that it is you who need to somehow fight, that you need to show God what you go for in prayer. This is, however, not the picture that the Bible gives of prayer. Jesus says, it's not your long prayers and it's not your nice words. He just says, come to God in a simple way. I think this parable talks about the same thing. Instead of having a really long prayer or a really like fightful, so to speak, prayer, we can just come to Him. In the first verse, Jesus says, in Luke, to show that they always should pray without ceasing. There he says it the first time. In verse 3 he says, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice. He said, not once or twice, but kept coming. And then he comes to verse 7. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? In three different ways, Jesus is lifting up prayer here. He's saying your prayer needs to go, needs to be ongoing, like through the widow's example, he's saying that a prayer, that not like a strength leap one time, but instead come to God again and again and again and again in a simple way. It's not necessarily that prayer that conquers at the end that has been the longest. It can be the simple prayer that happens time and time again. He doesn't say that pray lots of hours at a time. Maybe you get lots of prayer answers if you are continually in prayer for 2 hours. But instead, tell your wish in again and again in a simple way. And then he says day and night. He says at the different times of the day, come to God in a simple way. Make your wish known before God. We have an example of this in Jesus himself. I think it's very nice. When Jesus came to the end of his life, one day, the day will come to the end of. It will be the most difficult time at the end of this world. But when Jesus comes to the end of his life, he comes to the biggest temptation in his life, when powers are trying to get him to think that he doesn't need to die on the cross. Several times, this thought is being challenged in Jesus. It comes through Peter. It shall not happen to you, Master. And then he starts thinking those thoughts himself. In Jesus' biggest temptation, in his biggest time of temptation, in his biggest challenge, when he's thinking he should maybe give up, what does Jesus do then? Matthew 26. This is when Jesus is being tempted in Gethsemane. And then he comes to the disciples who are sleeping, and he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He says that the temptation to not fall into temptation is to stay, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Then he went back for the second time. My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. In Jesus' biggest time of temptation, he prays. Not a fantastically long prayer, to not to try to plead with the Father. But in simple words, and can you believe it or not, Jesus prays with the same simple words again and again. And he doesn't say, think that, oh, now I need to figure this out. Now I need to pray my second prayer in a different way to find new fantastic words. But he goes and prays with the same words. And for the third time, he prays with the saying the same thing. If it is not possible for this cup to be taken unless I drink it, may your will be done. Very simple words. But he comes to it again and again. He prays and comes before God again and again in a simple way. And he says that this, when you are tempted, when life is challenging, this might be what it's about. Jesus is saying, here is a way to make it through when life is really challenging. Watch and pray. His own example is not somehow a fantastic, like, he's saying, like, God, now I'm not trusting in my own strength in this situation. It can be easy for us to leave out or miss the prayer when life. So we can say that, oh, I didn't have time to pray for half an hour or for my prayer moment when life is so hectic. But instead, both this parable and Jesus' own example says it would make a difference if I, where I am, would just stop for a minute and say, Jesus, you see what I'm going through. I pray that you'll now give me wisdom in this decision, or strength to make it through this day. Jesus is saying this would make a difference in your life. Maybe you are thinking that you are a bad prayer life or an unsuccessful prayer life. Jesus gives an example. This that happened here in this church today, we don't have cold water. Just before the service. This is a fantastic example. We have experienced this tens of times out in our summer cottage. That they freeze. They are very close to the ground, and when it's -1 night, then the pipes can freeze, and then we get no water. But did you know that it doesn't happen if you open the faucet regularly to your, then the pipe cannot freeze. My father used to say, when you're out there and you go out in the middle of the night to the toilet, then open the faucet a little bit, and then the when we forget to open a channel of prayer, then maybe we don't have this flow of fresh water. But did you know when you open the faucet, if there comes only one drop from the faucet, if there comes one drop every 10 seconds, it's enough to start to melt the freezing pipe. If there's a small, like stream or a little drop, then it will start to thaw the pipe. If it comes two drops a second, and then it starts to open the channel. Actually, what Jesus is saying is, instead of opening the faucet once a day and having it on for a long time, open it several times, even every second minute if you want. And this channel will be more and more open, and it will be easier to be close to God. He's saying it's not the wondrous words or to get everything done on one in one time, but instead doing it often during the day, then it will not freeze, so to speak. In Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving." Don't be anxious, but do let God know your petitions. When worries come over you, you will get worries sometimes, but you can choose. If you make it to a worry or if you make it to a prayer, we have a choice and at different situations to make something into a prayer or make it into a worry. Paul says, make this instead into a prayer. When something challenging happens, make it to a repeated, ongoing prayer. Let God in everything get to know your present your requests with thanksgiving. We can say like thanksgiving with the voice of faith, and we can say thank you that you are with us. Then we have moved our trust to God. And then he said that then God's peace that will who's over all understanding keep your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. I think this has a tone of greatness that this parable about the widow and the judge. Let God in everything get to know your needs. This doesn't necessarily mean that you get a lot of prayer answers. It's very nice when we get prayer answers. But what Paul is saying that when you do this, when you let everything become a prayer before God, then God's peace that goes over all understanding will keep your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. The prayer is not just about the prayer answers we can get, but if we open this faucet, so to speak, often, then our hearts will be remain close to Jesus. This is more than prayer answers, that we will need more that when at times get colder and darker. So what we need is a heart that can trust in Jesus regardless of what happens. When life becomes challenging, when everything is saying it's not worth believing anymore, then my heart can trust in Jesus. When temptations come, when something tries to draw us into sin, then we can pray simple prayers throughout the day and night. That means that I, in the temptations moment, instead I try turn to Jesus and to trust in Him. First Thessalonians 5 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So pray continually. So to show that they always should pray with and not get tired. So it can be difficult to. It might mean at a continual prayer means that throughout the day, now and then I give a short prayer to God, and I want to know that now God is here. And the more I do it, the more the water will flow throughout the day, and I can trust in God no matter what happens. We will end with two Bible passages from John 16, 23 to 24. It says, Jesus talking about then when he has, in that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. So that you will rejoice. You will receive not only prayer answers, but you will receive a joy in this, that we get to live close to God. And in the same verse, just a few verses later, he comes to his death on a cross, and then it says in John 16:32, a time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So in the same passage where he says that he says everyone will leave me, he also says in that moment he's not alone. As he has lived, as he has learned to live in his relationship to God, he knows he is not alone. He can have peace in the middle of the difficulties. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. He gives a promise when we take hold of what Jesus says and practice in. It's about, in a simple way, coming to God and letting Him meet us in prayer. In this world, we will still meet trouble, but take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. We can have peace. The peace that Jesus leaves after Him to us. We can have this peace regardless of what we are going through. I think this parable about the widow and the judge is trying to say to us that if we want to be prepared at the end of times, also in the everyday life, there is a key here in praying continuously, small prayers. He will get us justice. He stands on our side this new year. Regardless of what you meet this year, you cannot be prepared for it. You cannot know what the future holds. But the person who lives in prayer, they can be prepared for it. They can have a heart that trusts in Jesus and lives close to God and has His peace. And He promises that God will get justice to them.